Book of James, chapter 1. Oh, let's see. Now, if I can get there, we'll be in good shape. James chapter 1, really long scripture reading, verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this day, the blessings you give us, the Lord, this privilege we have to come to your house to worship you. We do ask that you'd be in a special way with each of the prayer requests, have your will with each one. And now as we go into this part of the service where we open the bread of life, and Lord, just bless us, Lord, that we will take it in and use it for your honor and your glory. Give us discernment in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. A lot of things bothering me. Double-minded, really and truly double-minded, you can only be double-minded if you already know the Lord's your Savior. But to get a more, and I'm not going to go deep into where we're going, but to get a better understanding, let's go over to 2 Kings. That's way back under. 2 Kings, chapter 17. Now, I'm going to just give you some background a little bit. Kingdom was split. They had lots of problems. They were not serving God the way they should have. There was the worship of Molech. And it's a downward spiral for a nation. And they had a lot of kings in the northern kingdom. Matter of fact, all of their kings were evil, wicked kings. God was not pleased. And like I said, I'm just going to do a brief. It's not going to be a whole really, really dig deep into it. But Molech, this was one of the features of worship of Molech. They were offering their children to false gods. There were several of them in here, several different times they did this. But in chapter 17, it says, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So king of Egypt and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and called and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala and in harbor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. Now, for so it was, here's some sins of Israel which led them to captivity. It says, for so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of Egypt, or out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the king of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced cities. And they set them up images and groves in every hill and under every green tree. And they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen, whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger, for they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. Now, let me stop there for a minute. Back here in verse 9. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. Now, here's the problem. When we sin, we try to do it secretly. Israel did not want to do it openly. They wanted to do it secretly. They were God's people. Everybody knew that. They had come out of the land of Egypt. And 40 years later, a lady by the name of Rahab said, we heard about how the Lord God brought you out of Egypt. We heard about you crossing the Red Sea on dry ground. We heard about the wars that you fought. That was 40 years prior. I ain't even sure she was 40 years old. It really doesn't ever give us a age of her at the time of Jericho. So all these people knew that God had taken those people. They had become his people, and he brought them out of Egypt. So all these people still do it. So they're doing all of this secretly. They don't want everybody to know, you know, I look bad. Sometimes secretly we do some things, well, we don't want everybody to know. I mean, what would they think? The problem with secretly, what's the Bible say about your heart? For one, it says the heart's a wicked thing. Number two, it says what treasures are laid up in your heart, that's what you're going to be like. Eventually, it's all going to come in the open. You're not going to be secretly doing it anymore. Not a big issue anymore. It's going to be an open thing. All right. 15, and they rejected his statutes, that's God's. See where it went to now? They rejected God's statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies, which he testified against them, and they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of their Lord God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshiped all the host of heathen and served Baal. In other words, they went from secretly to it getting more open. And they went deeper and deeper into the idol worship. And before long, now they're building big idols and they're worshiping these big idols. Everybody can see them. But what's the next verse? And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. America, built on a Christian foundation, built on the Word of God, we've went from all way back under. They had, what was it, before my time, it was somewhere in Miss Betty's time. They had the Prohibition. All about what? Old booze. Everybody liked booze. And they fought against that. But even before that, there was a lot of things that changed along the way. Secretly, they were doing things. A lot of people secretly got involved in the different things. A lot of people secretly voted in this direction or that direction. Lancaster, Kentucky, they had a big vote for the city limits only. To go from a dry county, well, dry city limits to a wet city limits. And I don't mean a storm cloud. In other words, back in that part of the country, they have dry counties, they got wet counties. That means dry, you can probably get booze, but it's going to be moonshine, and you're not sure you want to drink it anyway. Causes lots of problems. Wet county means you can go buy alcohol. Now, have you ever drank any moonshine? No, don't answer that. Now, what for us in that part of the country, no. Ain't that stupid, or are we, Brother Louie? Anyway, and so Lancaster decided, even though it's Garrett County is dry, and Lancaster's in Garrett County, they decided they wanted to vote because it'll bring in business to bring alcohol in. Well, there were some people of a church I know of, that, and there were several other churches. They secretly voted, and you know, you don't tell people what you vote about. I do. I'll tell you. I voted for Trump. I voted for Bush. I voted for Reagan. I voted against Clinton. I voted against Obama. But, you know, I don't mind telling you that. Not a big issue to me. I don't have a problem with it. Although I'm not pleased with all of what each of them presidents done, nonetheless, I voted for Reagan, lost my job. Now the oil fields were stacking up anyway. But people secretly brought that into being, and now there's a lot of folk there that's wishing that that hadn't passed. It's no longer the little quaint Lancaster, if you're from there, or if you just moved there, it's Lancaster, but it's no longer that little quaint, calm, collected town. They got more cops than they ever thought they'd have to have. Altogether, it's got, what, two red lights? They got quite a few cops there now. They got a lot more domestic violence, you know, because husband gets to drinking and the wife says, why didn't you buy groceries? Well, I did. I bought it all in beer. And she gets bent out of shape. Then somebody gets slapped. Cops come out. Now, they got a lot more to do. So all of that. But they secretly done things. And then all of a sudden, now this is way back, they were secretly doing abortions. Women were dying from it because it was not legal. So they were doing it in alleyways and little bitty apartments and wasn't telling folk about it. But look at us now. Now it's just wide open. Your tax dollars help it. Planned Parenthood, the biggest mess out of the pits of hell there ever was. But yet our tax dollars help support them. And now they're able to kill babies all the way up to the day of birth. I saw a picture on Facebook. It was this baby that was born at 12:05. And it said, at 12:04, I could have been aborted. And that's sad that we've went that far.
full-term pregnancies. And I heard somebody mention, they said, well, that's only in the case of the mother's well-being or the child's well-being. Well, yeah, but what you want me to explain that to you? A guy told me if the woman says, well, I'm dizzy, that's good enough to kill the baby. Now I think it is, and you might correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I heard, Virginia is trying to okay it where after the baby is born, or they might have got it pulled off, that between the doctor and the mother, they can decide whether they want to keep it or not. They were taking their children to the god of Molech and sacrificing them. What was secretly moved into openly and no big issue. Amen. That's sad. That's sad that we live in a country that people do that, that people are willing to do that, that take an oath to save a life. Now, I'll be honest with you, if my doctor ever tells me point blank that I agree with it, I think we ought to kill him if a woman wants to, I'll probably find me another doctor, although I like him. If your doctor that you see for women or for children, whatever, if they agree with killing them, you need to dump that doctor and find you a new one. Amen. Because if they'll do that, they really don't give a rip about you. That's just honest. We need to let people know that we are disgusted with this kind of stuff. Problem is, Christians, too many times we sit back and say, well, ain't much we can do but pray. Well, you can write letters to congressmen. You can write letters to senators. They may never read it, but nonetheless, you put forth the effort. And yes, we do need to pray. And I've wrote plenty of letters, emailed them, send it off. It's not a big issue. It's not hard to do that. But that's where we've went as a nation. And there's several reasons behind that. I'm going to skip all the way to verse 33. Verse 33. They feared the Lord. Whoa. Wait a minute. They feared the Lord and served what? Their own God, double-minded, straddle the fence. Monday through Saturday, live like hell, but you better be sure to be on church Sunday. Amen. No, oh me. But that's where we're at in this nation. I'll leave it in our nation where we live. That's where we're at. We got part of the government that is all about God. We got another part of the government that has no more nothing to do with God. We've got mixed people in both of those sides that are, one of them's like, well, yes, I'm a Christian, but it's okay to abort a baby. Something's wrong with that thinking. Somebody asked me one time, well, shouldn't we vote for the lesser of the two evils? Unfortunately, that's about what it boils down to, because one of them, anytime you got a candidate running for president, one of them is all about abortion because they're drawing that crowd, because they think in their mind, well, there's more of them out there, I'll get it. The other one is, well, I'm only for abortion in case of incest and rape. And the mother's life. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'm not for abortion, period, dot, dot. I don't care whether it's rape. I don't care whether it's incest. I do not care whether it is your wife's going to die if she has the baby, so we got to kill the baby. I'm not for that. Amen. Praise the Lord, I never come up on that situation. But I'm not for that. I wasn't home, but for one, no. Yeah. I was only home for two of my kids. Oh, one. She says one. I was right first time. I was out in the military and I was in the oil fields the last, but so I was working. But I never come across that problem. Praise the Lord. But if I know some people that have, and they said, wow, but don't kill my baby. And they turned around and they started praying. Some of them made it and some of them didn't. But we got to leave it in the Lord's hands of what to do. Not our hands. It's not our place to decide whether somebody dies or not.
Amen.
Oh, but they're not a somebody unless they breathe air, I guess. Hey, when conception, well, we got to wait for a heartbeat. Now, let me give you a quick anatomy lesson. When the seed meets the eggs, it's a human.
Amen.
And it should have rights immediately.
Amen.
Well, we don't even know you're pregnant yet. This is true. But nonetheless, they got rights. Right then and there is a human being. Anybody that believes in abortion has got a serious heart issue under any circumstance. Is it okay to murder somebody? And if somebody wants to say, well, yeah, but it is. It's the right of the woman. Okay. Well, let me just put it out here this way. It's the right of me that if I get tired of her, I ought to be able to eliminate her. I mean, you're taking my rights if I can't eliminate her. And I don't want another man having my wife, so I'd just soon kill her. Don't take my rights from me now. That's about how much sense it makes. She's a person. She's a human being. And she can fight back. And trust me, she has. But the baby cannot fight back. That baby can't defend itself. I don't even want to know how they do that at the point of birth. I know before, in all of these different trimesters and whatever, when they decide to abort, they go in there and they inject a needle in their brain. Isn't that humane?
Yeah.
We went from saving lives to let's destroy it because it can't protect itself. Easy. When one's being born partial birth, they go in there and turn it around because, by the way, God designed a woman. And when they go to have it, the baby automatically, if everything's going good, turns head first. I'm out of here. They go in there and turn it around, drag it out while it's kicking, and then inject in their head and crush the brains and suck the junk out. Hello, forgive me, but I'd like to go and get a hold of the doctor that done that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, I don't know any. I'd have a hard time with that. I know it's a terrible subject. But that's where we're at now. It's more terrible than what they were doing. They were, in verse 17, they were offering their children alive to fire. Throwing them alive into a fire. Well, yeah, it's more humane to abort. Really? It's no different. That's where we've went. But you notice the verse I read, 33. They feared the Lord because believers fear the Lord. And believe it or not, unfortunately, there's probably someone here tonight that agrees with abortion in some circumstance. Unfortunately, there are people that will listen to this message that I've got going out there that believes in abortion to a circumstance. Let me make it perfectly clear once again. There is no reason to kill another human being outside of your protection. If that baby comes out of the womb with a knife and chasing you down the hall, well, then you got to defend yourself. That's it. That's what I'd like to do, is take those doctors and nurses that do this, lock them in the room with a grizzly bear and say, well, now he's got rights. We ain't fed him in about a month, but he's got rights. Fend for yourself.
Amen.
Wouldn't last very long. But that's where we went. But we got the fear of the Lord. There's a lot of people I know that are believers. I know personally that are believers, and I believe they're saved, but yet they'll vote for somebody that agrees with abortion. Yet they'll tell me, well, I can understand that a woman would want to have an abortion. I could understand that if she's got a choice of dying or her baby dying, that she'd let her baby die. Let me tell you something. That woman right there, you step in between one of her babies or one of her grandbabies, and she hurts you. She's pretty calm. But you see, a real woman would never make that choice. They would say, you know what? You take care of my baby.
Amen.
I'll be okay. But we're getting few and far between of real women. They've lost natural affection. Now, I will say this. If you've ever had that procedure, and if you've asked the Lord to forgive you for that, amen. And the Lord forgave you for that.
Amen.
And one day, if you're saved, you'll see that little baby in heaven, and that little baby ain't going to say, you sorry dog. No. They're going to know that you mama, and they love you. That's a fact. Because that's the way it works with God. He listen, ain't going to hold nothing against you. It won't be that way. But you see, they were straddled the fence. They were double-minded. We need to be, they were double-minded. They were half-hearted worshiping. They were, in our day, how would we put it? In our day, we'd come to church on Sunday and amen the preacher and sing praise to the Lord and come Sunday night and man, Monday, we're right back out there and we're just sinning up a storm and just being a regular old person out there and nobody could really know that you're a Christian. And then Wednesday, you got to straighten up again because, hey, we got to come to church. Because if we don't, pastor gets mad. Don't worry about me getting mad at you. You don't want to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's your business. Take it up with God.
Amen.
I'd rather deal with the pastor than I had God. You work it out with him. But if that's what we've got. And then come Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they're right back out there. And you couldn't tell whether he's Christian or not. You see, that's what double-mindedness is. That is a perfect picture of double-minded Christians. They loved God. They loved what God could do for them. But yet they wanted to live their life on their own terms the way they want to live it. Well, I want to do this. I can do this. I want to do that. I can do that. But now, God, I'm going to serve you too. It don't work that way. God says he don't want half-hearted worship.
Amen.
He wants wholehearted. He wants wholehearted worship. He wants, you know how you, when the offering plate comes along, we put what he blessed us with, whether it's weekly, bi-weekly, monthly. We put an amount in there, how he blessed us. We gave that to him. I'm going to be honest with you what he really wants. He wants you in the offering plate. Whole, feet to the top of your head. He wants you to offer yourself to him. He wants you to understand that, hey, he's in control of all this. I was talking to somebody today and I said, you know what? This is, when I first got saved in 84, I was happy, had some changes in my life, and I could tell there were some changes. Some of the things I was doing, I really didn't have any fun doing anymore. It just changed. I didn't want it to change, but it did. I like a little toke every now and then, and I didn't mind a little snort every now and then. And I wanted to look at that and do that, and I was, every time I did that stuff, it made me feel bad. I'm like, what? Last week it wasn't that away. Well, it kind of changed things, but I fought it and fought it and fought it. And then finally the Lord called me into the ministry, and I said, uh-uh. And along the line, I had it in my mind that seriously, I was in control of this. I got it under control. God, I'm doing okay. I can be straddle the fence and I can serve you, because I was having a drug problem and leading singing for a guy named Steve Meese at Lamar Missionary Baptist Church. And we're doing good. I'm on this side of the fence Monday through Tuesday, and then Thursday, I always skip Wednesday. Thursday through Saturday, I'm over here. Oh, but come Sunday morning and Wednesday night, I'm over here, because I'm sitting in this chair where Ryan sits, and Brother Steve was sitting right over there. I done moved up in God's eyes because I'm in here serving him. But now, but I'm straddled the fence. Well, but I still had it under control. And then I finally said, oh man, the Lord just driving me nuts about this becoming a preacher. I'm like, what? No, I got to change all. I got to give this up. I was supposed to give all that up anyway. And then in 2006, I had my big wreck in my tanker truck, and then I'm laying out on the bank, and I'm like, what an idiot I've been. And I surrendered a few days after that. I surrendered my life to the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, I will preach the word. You take care of me and Sandy, I'll preach the word. Everything good, except I'm still in control. Jim got it. I didn't even want to. I love flying. I don't have a fear of flying. But I didn't like to fly because I'm in control of them on the ground. I was deceiving myself. I'm going to tell you when it seriously hit home that I wasn't in control. I'm laying on the table in 2010, May, in the operating room. Dr. Allmiller is standing over me. He said, we got two choices, because I'd had a heart attack. And he said, we got two choices. He said, we're either going to do open heart surgery and a double bypass, or I'm going to go in through your groin and I'm going to make that decision, and I'm going to go up in your heart and look around. And I'm like, huh? That ain't sounding good. And he said, and by the way, I got to tell you this, 1 in 300 people have a heart attack, but it's a good thing I'm in there. I'll fix it right away. I'm laying there, and at that point, I'm about half loaded. I couldn't have got up and run off if I'd have wanted to. And at that point, I was like, well, wait a minute. I'm not in control here. I'm really not. I mean, it honestly, the realistic side of things hit me that I really ain't in control. And I examined myself because I'm like, Paul says, and I even said that, I may have said it out loud, I don't know. Paul says, examine yourself, make sure you're in faith. So I started checking, Lord, am I saved? Do I really know you? Are you really? And the Lord gave me peace. Yeah, you're okay. And then I'm like, well, yeah, but man, what about tomorrow? And then what about the next day? What about? And the Lord laid it on my heart. Listen, you don't need to worry about tomorrow. You need to live today. And I'm in control of it. If I want you here, and it came to this, this is what it come to. It come down to, I relaxed and I had peace. And I said, you know what? If I wake up and I see Sandy, or I'm still in the hospital, everything's cool. And if I wake up and I'm in heaven, I'll be face to face with Jesus. Because I'm not in control. When I really got to that point that I'm not in control, my life became so much easier. It became so much easier to lay down at night and sleep, because it don't matter if I wake up dead, I wake up dead. That ain't my problem. It's going to be her problem. You guys are going to have a problem, and I'm going to be fine. I don't even worry about it no more. Yesterday, I got this wild hair because I had the boys with me, and I went and got the girls some chicken, and I decided I want some panda. Good old cardboard Chinese. You know, hard to say what you're eating. I went and got it, and I got Ethan some, and Avery, and I got home, and I told the lady, I said, before I left, I said, now, we need about 8 or 10 packs of that soy sauce. Got to have that. Soy is very high in sodium. Very high in sodium. Did I say it was really high in sodium? And it has a lot to do with how much you put on it. And I put about 4 or 5 packs on it. It was good. Man, when I was eating that, I was like, oh, yeah. But then as the night went on, I ain't feeling so good. My head is on fire. My ears are just, you know, and I'm thinking. I told her, I said, I'm going to bed. Are you okay? I said, I'm fine. I'm going to bed. I'm laying there in bed. My heart's doing that. And I just said, you got this. And I just went to sleep. And guess what? I woke up to my alarm going off. And so I knew I wasn't in heaven. Because I don't think they have alarms there. Amen. Everything was fine. What the point I'm trying to get across is you need to get in your life to where you're not double-minded. You need to get into that mode of, you know what, God's got this, I'll be okay. Amen. It doesn't matter about what's going to take place Monday morning. None of us may be alive Monday morning. Who cares? I'm going to wake up in heaven. I want to see my grandkids again. I want to see them grow up and all of that stuff. But you know what? If God wants to take me on the house, that's fine too. I don't have a problem with that. We don't need to be double-minded. We need to be serious about serving the Lord our God and putting Him first in our lives over anything. Don't be wishy-washy. Stick to it. I'm going to serve God. I don't care what my family does. I don't care what my neighbors do. I don't care. I don't care what the government does. I'm going to serve God. Amen. With all my heart. Not half-heartedness. Not straddle the fence. But all the way in. Let's stand.